Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, The Meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, text number 24. Dishtya samsara chakresmin.
Dishtya samsara chakresmin.
Vartamana punar bhava.
Vartamana punar bhava.
Upalabdho bhavan adya.
Upalabdho
bhavan adya. Durlabham priya darshanam. Dishtya.
It is also by great fortune.
Samsara chakra smin.
In this world of birth and death.
Vartamana.
Although I was existing.
Punaha.
Bhavaha.
My meeting with you is just like another birth.
Upalabdha,
being obtained by me.
Bhavan,
you.
Adya,
today.
Durlabham,
although it was never to happen.
Priyadarshanam,
to see you again.
My very dear friend and brother.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is also by good fortune that I am seeing you, having obtained this opportunity. I feel as if I had taken birth again. Even though one is present in this world, to meet with intimate friends and dear relatives in this world is extremely difficult. Purport, Vasudev had been imprisoned by Kamsa, and therefore, although president of Mathura, he was unable to see Nanda Maharaj for many years. Therefore, when they met again, Vasudev considered this meeting to be another birth. Text number 25. Many planks and sticks, unable to stay together, are carried away by the force of a river's waves. Similarly, although we are intimately related with friends and family members, we are unable to stay together because of our varied past deeds and waves of time. Purport, Vasudeva was lamenting that because he and Nanda Maharaj could not live together. Yet how could they live together? Vasudeva was lamenting because he and Nanda Maharaj could not live together. Yet how could they live together? Vasudeva warns that all of us, even if intimately related, are carried away by the waves of time according to the results of past karma. Text 26. My dear friend Nanda Maharaj, in the place where you're living with your friends, is the forest favorable for the animals, the cows? I hope there is no disease or inconvenience. The place must be full of water, grass, and other plants. Purport, for human happiness, one must care for the animals, especially the cows. Vasudeva therefore inquired whether there was a good arrangement for the animals where Nanda Maharaj lived. For the proper pursuit of human happiness, there must be arrangements for the protection of cows. This means that there must be forests and adequate pasturing grounds full of grass and water. If the animals are happy, there will be an ample supply of milk, from which human beings will benefit by deriving many milk products with which to live happily. As enjoined in Bhagavad Gita 18:44, Krishi Gorakshavani Jam, Vaishya Karma Svabhavajam. Without giving proper facility to the animals, how can human society be happy? The people are raising cattle to send to the slaughterhouse is a great sin. By this demoniac enterprise, people are ruining their chance for a truly human life because they are not giving any importance to the instructions of Krishna. The advancement of their so-called civilization resembles the crazy efforts of men in a lunatic asylum. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is only one path towards happiness. And according to modern civilization, there are unlimited paths towards happiness. The question, who's right? Now, the Bhagavatam consistently is explained in terms of the background being a agrarian society based upon cow protection. There's no real part of the Bhagavatam that explains about how to build a technological or industrial society. Because advancing in the Vedic society was consciousness, specifically towards love of Krishna, and love for all living entities, everything in relation to Krishna. But modern society is based upon denying Krishna's existence and trying to find happiness through sense gratification. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that the path towards happiness is yesham antagatam pa, well, ischa dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani samoham sargayanti purantapa. That all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the duality of desire and hate. So this is material existence. We're hankering for what we don't have, and we're lamenting over what we lost. All in relation to this body. Because the soul, there's nothing that he's going to get in the material world that's going to make any positive difference in his existence. Nor can he lose anything that would make any difference in his existence. The soul is beyond the material energy. In other words, we're actually beyond the material nature. But because we're not conscious of the spiritual nature, because we're conscious of the material nature, we've invested all our interest in trying to make material arrangements. And therefore, because we're spending so much time trying to make material arrangements, we can't concentrate on spiritual arrangements, spiritual consciousness. And it all begins with complicating everything. In other words, if we create things to hanker after, for the enjoyment of the tongue, the belly, and the genitals, then of course things are going to become very complicated. I forget how many thousands of chemicals are creating annually, new chemicals. In order to create all this technology with these computers, these planes, these washing machines, everything, so many machines. In order to have these machines, so much industrialization, enterprises have to go on. And of course, all these machines can't produce food. They can destroy the food. For instance, they have this vitamins. They take out all the vitamins for the food by the manufacturing process, and then after they take it all out, then they add vitamins to the food that they took out and charge you extra money for adding the vitamins to the food that they took out in the beginning with. And they're proud. This is vitamin D fortified milk. We put in some fish oil into it to make it fortified. It was perfectly good when it came out of the cow. It had everything you needed. But since we boiled it and pasteurized it, homogenized it, did everything we could to destroy it, then we handed it back to you for extra money. And we're proud because we don't want people to touch anything natural. It might contaminate them. So in the original society, there wasn't so much opportunity for eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Just like they have the internet now. But basically, what is the internet? The internet is opportunities for imagining different varieties of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And a little bit of all the health corrections that's going to come about if you actually take them seriously and follow their advice and engage in the eating, sleeping, mating, defending that they're advertising. So then you're going to have to go to the doctor and get some kind of cure for it, for all the problems it's going to cause you. Because yesha mandikatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrataha. The process, it begins with freeing oneself from sinful reactions. The process of spiritual elevation begins with freeing oneself from sinful activities. And what is the main sinful activities? The main sinful activity begins, as it says in the 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, killing or destroying the cow and the bull. Of course, the main reason why we're in the material world is to imitate Radha and Krishna. It's not we came here just to harass cows and bulls. We came here to imagine ourselves to be either Radha or Krishna, the enjoyers of this world. Romance. And then we have the other relationships that are formed around the Radha and Krishna relationship, which is the original one. Friendship, parenthood, servitorship, etc. So these are all perverted reflections of the original rasa, but Radha and Krishna, what are they doing? They're cowherd boys and cowherd girls in the spiritual world. So they're protecting the cows. They're getting milk from the cows. Krishna is herding the cows. Srimati Radharani is making butter and churning butter. So is Mother Jasoda. You never find them beating on a cow in the spiritual world. There are no vegans there. Everyone drinks milk. Everyone eats cheese. Everyone takes ghee. And they don't get fat. There's no cholesterol. They're not worried about, there's no heart operations. Everyone's quite healthy in the spiritual world, eternally. There's actually no doctors in the spiritual world. There's no hospitals. They don't do exercise. You don't find Krishna and the coward boys too. Jumping. Radharani's doing, you know. Is at the gym every day, keeping yourself slim. No, it's a natural life. And they get plenty of exercise, dancing. Matter of fact, they're dancing every night. They're walking all the time. They're not walking to the store to buy something, to the supermarket. They're not walking to the mall to look around for the clothes. It's all nicely organized in the spiritual world, that everything they actually need is there. But here we're wasting so much time, beginning with killing cows, which represents the four legs of religiosity, namely truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, and austerity. And illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, meat eating are the exact opposite. They destroy the principles of religion. And because people are not austere, because they're not clean, because they're not merciful, and because they're not truthful, therefore their minds are always disturbed. Kalena prayena na pushajana kalavasmin yugejana manda sumanda matyo manda bhagu padrita. The people in this age of Kalena, they have but short lives. Alpa medasa, alpa ayusha. They have but short lives. And they're lazy. They don't appear to be lazy. They're running around all the time. looking for something to buy. You go downtown, everyone's downtown, or here, or at the mall, or somewhere. Just imagining what they could buy there, looking for something to spend their money on. But what is it all about? They're looking for some dress to look more attractive. They're looking for, basically, most of the society is just window shopping for dresses and clothes and different things, just all based upon sex life, just to increase sex life. And then there's books, in case you can't have enough sense gratification, you can read about it at least. So I have libraries and bookstores full of all kinds of romance novels and whatever else. Or do it yourself, how to cure yourself from all the disease that you're creating for yourself. And of course, if you go downtown, even Ljubljana, everyone's sitting down and eating. You don't find people sitting around chanting the holy name. They're just at the cafe drinking beer and eating some dead animal, or maybe something. But they're always eating, trying to look good for mating, and hope they can get a good night's rest after all this. So what is the whole thing? Is the whole aim is to imitate Radha and Krishna, become God, at the, what is that, the all-attractive couple. Therefore, marriages are so important, because this is Radha and Krishna getting together, the divine couple, forever and ever. Well, maybe for a couple of years at least. And therefore, they're going to create the divine arrangement. They're going to have their Vaikuntha planet, which will be their house. They're going to have expansions, their children. They're going to have their vehicles, the Garuda. And they're going to live happily ever after. Or at least for a couple of years. And in order to do that, they have to get a job in modern society. And I don't think there's any emphasis on getting a job where you protect cows and bulls. Where you're going to plow the land with a bull. How many people go to college to learn how to plow the land with a bull? No, it's all technology. You become a chemist, a biologist, chemical biologist, physicist, a chemical biologist, physicist, engineer. It's all meant to make things more and more complicated. So at the end of the day, you can go to the supermarket and buy something to eat. Although it's full with chemicals, was made by some machine based upon cow slaughter, directly or indirectly, not very nutritious, not very digestible, not very tasty, but there it is, the marvels of modern chemistry. And everyone should be proud. Look at it, it looks so beautiful in that package. It looks so appetizing. So we can imagine we're enjoying. But actually, as soon as the cow and the bull, which are the symbols of the religiosity, why? Because the cow and the bull can very easily provide all the necessities of life. The bull can plow the land and give us, without destroying the land, these tractors that they have nowadays, they're so heavy. If you ever saw a big tractor, I mean, they have them the size of buildings. And they go through the land, they're so heavy, they compact the land, and all the living entities in the soil, they get squashed by the tractor. The living entities who are actually providing the fertilization, the aeration of the land, making it fertile, they just squash it with the tractors. Plus the tractors, and they have these planes, they go and spray the insecticides, the herbicides, the pesticides, the peoplecides. All these things they're spraying on the land. So if anything was survived after the tractor went through it, they make sure they kill it. And then they have to throw in artificial fertilizer. Because everything's dead. They destroyed everything. Now they got to throw fertilizer on the ground to try to get something to grow. And then when they try to get to grow, it's not a normal thing nowadays mostly. It's genetically modified. So they spray more pesticides on it. Everything that could possibly survive, live near the plant dies because they bombard it with so much poison. And the plant is so much modified, it doesn't know if it's alive or dead anymore. It doesn't bother dying because it's been modified in such a way nothing can kill it. It's like if you ever saw this movie called Super Size Me. Did you see that movie? Super Size Me means a man who's perfectly healthy. He went to the doc. He went to the had all these tests made, and they discovered he was perfectly healthy. And then he decided to make an experiment. He'd only eat from. He'd only go and eat McDonald's 3 times a day from McDonald's. So after 1 month of only eating from McDonald's, he went back to and had a test made. And he was almost dead by then. His blood pressure shot up. His liver was practically destroyed. Krishna. So. And then they did these other experiments. They put the McDonald's hamburger underneath this glass to see what would happen in the course of time, some months. And they put French fries that comes from McDonald's. And after a very short period of time, Donald's hamburgers, they turn green and yellow and red and all kinds of things. But the French fries, after 2 years or something, they looked exactly the same as when he put them underneath the glass. Nothing changed. In other words, if you eat them, nothing could you probably have the same French fry in your stomach now as you ate 5 years ago. It's indestructible. Even after your body, you leave your body and your body deteriorates, the French fry would still be there. People 5,000 years from now, they dig up the body. They see, wow, these people, they were made out of French fries. And people are proud that, you know, this is fast food. We don't have to cook. We just go there and we buy it. We don't have to do anything. But real food is actually made with real living entities. It's to get actually proper vegetables, milk products. Then you need the cow and the bull. Anything else is just artificial. Because the bull is perfectly made and the cow are made, that when they're plowing the field, they pass stool, which is full of fertilizer, natural fertilizer. You don't need artificial fertilizer. They don't compact the land. They plow it very nicely. The land stays fertile. There's no chemicals to kill everything. And you can just throw the seeds and everything grows. But the problem is the people who are greedy, who want to exploit everyone, they can't make any money from that. Because everyone could live simply without any economic development. The economic development is there for everyone. And then they could spend their time thinking about Krishna without any worries. That some person who owns all the banks will wake up on the wrong side of the bed and decide that everyone's going to starve tomorrow. Everyone is independent. They're growing their own food. They have a source of water which is pure. There's fresh air. They have nice relationships because they're not greedy, trying to exploit each other. They have everything they actually really need. Plus, they're developing Krishna consciousness. Once the economic problems are solved, then one can very easily engage in practicing Krishna consciousness. In other words, act piously. One can actually do things which are clean and truthful and controlling the mind. One can actually come to the mode of goodness quite easily. And then even though we're in a material body where there's so much difficulty because of living in the material world, still one can learn to tolerate because one is already practicing Krishna consciousness, and therefore one awakens one's original consciousness internally, and one can live in that consciousness. One experiences that consciousness, not only the mundane consciousness, one can also begin to develop experiencing Krishna consciousness. So one can learn tolerance even in the midst of adversity. And then by that tolerance, one can actually begin real devotional service. In other words, serve Krishna, be in Krishna consciousness, without demanding from Krishna to solve our material problems that we've created because of our past lives. One can easily, happily think about Krishna without any alternative motivation, without demanding from Krishna something. Then one can actually understand Krishna in truth. Krishna reveals himself as he actually is, and one becomes so addicted to the bliss and the happiness of Krishna consciousness that one becomes, meditates entranced eternally in Krishna consciousness. But if one can't even give up sinful activities, if one is actually convinced that killing animals is all right, killing your children is all right, killing the old people is all right, killing this country's people is all right, everything's all right, just as long as I can imitate Radha and Krishna here and have my, you know, my videos where we're just watching who we think we should, who we're imagining we are. And I can easily go to the store and buy all kinds of things from all over the world and imagine I'm controlling the world. I'm controlling everything. And at the same time, I can hardly even press the video to change the channel. But I'm convinced by the whatever I see on television, the radio, my education, the newspaper, that I'm actually making progress towards becoming God, becoming the enjoyer of the world. I'm eating some dead animal, and I'm thinking I'm the controller of everything, and I'm actually enjoying this thing. And I enjoy taking all these pills that the doctor's giving me, because I can't digest the food, I can't digest my thoughts, I can't digest anything. I'm a wreck. But I'm convinced I'm God. That's the important thing. That nothing moves without my will. So we have a choice. Either we can live in reality or we can live in illusion. Now we ourselves, we're not about to create a farm, but we should understand that that's desirable. To actually have a self-sufficient farm based upon not only just growing vegetables, but based upon the cow and the bull. That we don't need these tractors, we don't need all this technology, we don't need any, we just need the cow and bull, and other things will be, some technology can be there, how to make the plow, how to make the wagon, transport the food, how to make the plow, or the mechanism so the bull can crush the grains. Some technology can be there, but very simple. Something that doesn't need big trucks, big industries, big mining, big transportation of oil from around the world, big armies to protect our assets. Just a little wagon, a little plow. And some Krishna consciousness, so we can actually get a higher taste. We don't run after so-called happiness from sense gratification. So we should look forward to a time when we can actually develop such projects so we can actually show what civilization is like. Otherwise, we have a great philosophy, tells us all about what civilization should be, and it would be nice if we manifest it a little bit. So the first thing is we have to learn how to get along with each other. The reason why we can't get along with each other is because we're envious. We're thinking that this person has more sense gratification than I have. Therefore, I should be envious of them. So if they don't respect me for who I imagine myself to be, then I get angry at them. If I don't get everything I demand, then I become frustrated. Because I'm hearing all these things I think I should have, and when I can't get them, I just get frustrated and get angry at everyone. Decry God for not giving them to me. So then we can't get along with each other. But if we're just satisfied with what we have and try to become more satisfied in relationship with others in Krishna consciousness as a servant, not as a potential master of others, then we can actually become happy. And then when people work together, then easily they can live on a farm because they won't be thinking, I'm on this farm, let's get the cows to produce more and more milk so we can sell them so I can get my next trip to India. Buy my next car. Cows, if there's going to be self-sufficiency, then the cows have to provide enough milk to provide for what I think is self-sufficiency. So without Krishna consciousness, without regularly hearing about Krishna, without internalizing what Krishna is saying and living according to it, then Krishna, we don't really experience it. And therefore we'll just be always hankering for something in the material world to fill the void that we feel because of our lack of experiencing Krishna consciousness. And if we live simply and we learn how to get along with each other, because that's the first thing, Nanda Maharaj, Mother DeSoto, the coward men, the coward boys, they get along with each other in the spiritual world. You never find, you know, Nanda Maharaj saying, Mother DeSoto, this is enough. It's time to get divorced. I need another wife. No, it's always new and exciting because they're focused on Krishna, and Krishna is all-loving, and therefore they're all-loving towards each other also. And therefore they don't need everything, new relationships all the time, because the relationships are always becoming more sweeter, because the relationship with Krishna is always sweeter. And if we don't have that, then we'll never be happy, no matter what arrangements are made for us in the material world. If we don't learn how to get happiness from Parashparam, by association with devotees to develop our Krishna consciousness, because it takes association of devotees to develop Krishna consciousness. We can't do it by ourselves. It's a process of association with devotees, all based upon Krishna. Then our Krishna consciousness can develop, our inspiration to become more steady and more enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness. And if we think we can do it by ourselves, we're just living in an imagination. That's modern civilization, you can become strong by yourself. Everyone else is just a paraphernalia for you. No, Krishna consciousness is that we have to learn how to become servants of Krishna's servants, and then we can actually develop our Krishna consciousness. Without becoming servant of Krishna's servants, then we'll simply be an illusion of this material identification, thinking ourselves to be the most superior person in existence. I can't serve anyone because I'm so important myself. Everyone should serve me, including Krishna. My false ego, I should say, not our real self. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Traveling around,
That's right. Yeah, of course. They didn't want to go anywhere because they were happy where they were. Everything was there, including Krishna consciousness. They had loving relationships even between their families because they were trained up to have a service relationship. Therefore, it was always more and more sweet, their relationships. Therefore, they didn't want to go anywhere else. If you have a mountain of candy that you're living by, you like candy, why would you want to go anywhere? Because everything was based upon the sweetness of the relationships, not only between the people, but between the animals too. Everything was loving. Everything was productive too. Therefore, the reason why we don't have farms is because we don't have the proper relations with each other. Because we can't even tolerate living, you know, too close to each other for too long. So what to speak of living on a farm and working together? We always have to have in the background my independence or my opportunity for independence if I want it. If you don't serve me, then I'm leaving and I have the means to do it. I have my ticket out of here if I want. Therefore, we can never surrender in that attitude. We never become a servant because we're always looking to be served. Even when we do service, it's only business. What am I going to get back? You give me this present for Christmas, and I make sure that I get a profit at the end of the present giving. I give you presents. Here's my present for 40, and I hope you give me something for 50. So by the time Christmas is done, I've made some profit. That's the give and take. You give to me, and I take from you. So that with that mentality, where is there a question of love, or harmony, or peace, or nice relationships? It's not possible. And therefore, we'll always be hankering for relationships, and it'll always be in the movies. That's the only place he'll be. It's kind of perverted to perfection. Anything else? Yes.
To know or to build a community, either small or big, is more essential to first have good relationship in the group.
The first thing is that everyone should know who they are. What they're, you know, am I a male or am I a female? Which has become quite a big problem in some parts of the world. Figuring out what you are. Some people identify themselves as dogs now. I think they have one, I think someone spent $15,000 on a dog suit and he goes to the park every day and plays with the other dogs there. So they can't even figure out if they're a male or female. They don't even know if they're a human being anymore. So unless we know who we are, we don't know what we're supposed to be doing. If you think you're a dog and someone throws a bone, you don't pick it up and put it in the garbage. You jump on it and try and eat it. Obviously, you're going to have problems trying to eat the bone. But anyhow, if you're determined enough. So first thing is to find out who we are, whether I'm male, female, even if I'm celibate, if I'm married, and what the duties are. What I'm supposed to be doing. And then do things as a matter of duty. Then we can become a little selfless, a little bit human, not following our senses, but following our intelligence, doing our duty. And then our relationships with the other can be dutiful also. I can take care of my family, my children properly, understand what the goal is, to help my children become Krishna conscious. I can have children for Krishna's service and help them become Krishna conscious, make my arrangements, my plans in relationship to my duty rather than my sense gratification. Then you can live with others. Even if there's no sense of duty, we can't even live as a householder, what to speak of a community. And therefore, if I don't know what's duty and what's not duty, I don't know what's sinful and what's not sinful, then there's no hope for anything. We become less than animals, that's all. The animals would be appalled to be identified with much of human society nowadays. They'd be embarrassed. There's no dog, I think, who thinks of him as a cat. And if he is, it's just due to bad education. Anything else? Well, Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.